Good morning and welcome to The Crossing. My name is Pastor Keith Morris. I am not Pastor Zach. Pastor Zach is awesome and let me speak this morning to wrap up our series on new wine. So if you're a visitor with us, come back next week because you'll be in store with something, someone special and someone dear. But I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to speak to y'all. We're in this series called New Wine. And it's been an incredible series. How many of y'all have been here all 4 weeks now? This will be the fourth, so three. Yeah. And so it's been an incredible series. But one of the things that the first week we spoke about was dealing with change. We talked about how when change comes our way, how do we deal with that? And then the second week we spoke on, we discuss a new vessel and a new direction, and how when God gives us a new wineskin, when he gives us that new vessel, he speaks new direction into our lives. And the trajectory of our life is changed. And then last week we talked about growth. We talked about how when we receive that new vessel, that new wineskin, that there's an expansion period, that we looked at the wineskins and how they expanded and how you can't put new wine into an old wineskin because the elasticity isn't there. It can't expand. It can't grow. And how when you become, when you come into the kingdom of God, when you enter that kingdom and you have that new vessel, that God has new growth for you. He has growth that he wants to bless you with, and he wants to expand your horizons. Today, I want to talk to you about a topic called preservation. I teach youth here, and so I'm the youth pastor, and so I get to deal a lot with teenagers. But I get to deal a lot with teenagers that in the past ministries, and a couple of the here in my short time that have gone to college. You know, there's always that gap where I say, goodbye, see you, get out, boom, and then they go to college, right? And what I see a lot of times in statistics shows is that there's this period where they go from high school to college and that there's this massive dropout, like from church attendance, from church involvement with teenagers going into college. And I feel like they can't last. You know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe some of that's my fault, but I feel like that there's a need for preservation, not only in their lives, but in our lives, that we can say, look, when it gets tough, when life throws changes, when life throws curveballs at us, I don't know how many of y'all watched the Boston Red Sox game the past couple of days, been intense, curveball. When life throws curveballs at us, though, it can tend to get us down. It can tend to discourage us. It can tend to make us feel like we can't keep going. You know what I'm saying? When those struggles come and you can't feel like you can press on, you don't feel like you can persevere, like there's no preservation. I'm not going to make it. I talk to teenagers all the time in college. I am in college, okay? And I'm finishing up my last senior year, and I got this, this thing keeps moving. I got this thing, though. I'm in college, and I feel like I can't make it. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the last year, and I'm like, Lord, just get me through the end of it, because it is hard. It is intense. It's time consuming. It's a change in my life. I have my family, my ministry, and all of that going on. And it's like, Lord, I don't think I'm going to make it. How many of y'all have been there where you just say, Lord, I don't think I'm going to make it? That's what I want to talk to y'all today about. I want to talk to you about perseverance, preservation. And so let's look at our scripture, our passage this week in Luke chapter 5. It's been the same passage that we've been in for the past 3 weeks. And it says, it's Jesus, and he's in this passage, and he's walking up, and the Pharisees and the John's disciples are there, and they look at him, and they're like, why aren't your disciples fasting? That's the question they ask him. Why aren't your disciples doing the things that we are supposed to be doing? There was a law in that time that the Pharisees had to fast twice a week. And so these Pharisees see this and they say, why aren't y'all doing what we're doing? And Jesus walks up to them, and here's how he responds. Jesus responded in verse 34. Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. They say the old is just fine. Jesus is speaking of a new era of salvation. He says, I'm here now. He says, look, here I am. And he says, now the old is not compatible with the new. He's talking about the old law. He says, look, the old things, the old way of doing things, the old traditions, the old mindset, it's not compatible with the new. I'm here. Things are changing. Things are different now. I come with the old was a temporary fix. The law was a temporary fix. But I come with a lasting fix, a complete fix, a permanent fix. See, what I've learned studying the scripture is that God is faithful to preserve his own. God is faithful to preserve his own. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. See, when God produces change in your life, it positions you to last. Get what I said there? When God produces change, it positions you to last, to persevere, to make it through. But the problem is, not all change comes from God. You get what I'm saying? Not all change comes from God. Some of it, we endure. Some of our struggles, some of our problems, some of the things that weigh us down are things that God never meant for us to walk through. It was never change that God put in our path. It was something that we put there. You know what I'm saying? Have y'all ever had one of those moments where you're like, oh, this is God? You know what I'm saying? Like those good opportunities and you're like, this is perfect. This is God. I got this. I know what I'm doing. And you jump in head feet first and then you realize, whoa, wait a minute. That wasn't God. No, just me. Okay. So a couple moments. So one moment was when I was interning in high school. I love stories. I went and worked for a church and you're like, oh yeah, that is of God. You're going to work for a church. It's going to be great. It's going to be the best thing in your life. And I didn't pray about it. My parents told me to pray about it. My dad worked at the church and told me to pray about it. But I was like, I got a call in my life. I'm going into ministry one day. And this just gets me there faster. And I've been working this job at Walmart. I had started this consistency at Walmart. You know, I'd been there for a year. I was making good money as a teenager. And I was working like 25 hours a week. And it was awesome. And then I get offered this internship. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is God. I don't even need to pray about it. Like, and I bring change into my life that wasn't meant. You get what I'm saying? I didn't consult God. I didn't go to him first. And so I put this path in my life that God never meant to have. Yes, he used it for his glory and for his goodness. But it was never meant to be there. And so, you know what I did? I went and turned in my 2-week notice at Walmart. I was like, yeah, I'm going to work for a church. You want to know how much money I made at that church? Not that money is everything. I made $75 a week. Yeah, I was rolling in the dough. And so I made $75 a week. Not the bad part. That's not the bad part. I'm in school, okay? And I got these things in my life that God put in my life. And he had them there to produce change that would last in me. He had me in school. He has you in school, students, because it will last you. That knowledge that you retain today in high school and in college, it will last you through your career. There's a reason why we go to school. It's not just circumstance. God puts that change in your life. He puts that in your life to help last you. And so I go to this internship, and I start, you want to know what one of my first jobs was? We had this field, like 10-acre field. Okay, and it had rivets and it had like all these holes, and when it rained, it would fill out. You know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have seen your yards recently? You see all the low spots because there's like, it's like Noah's flood out there recently in Texas. And so we have this place that, and I would literally, our pastor wanted it level. And I said, yes, sir. You always say yes, sir, when pastor asks you. So I said, yes, sir. Put that in there. And here's how he wanted me to fill those holes, though. I thought, you know, we're going to bring in a team. We're going to level this whole thing out. It's going to look good. We're going to put in fields. No. Wheelbarrow and a huge dump truck of sand. And I had to, every day, after school, in the summer, I was there for months shoveling this dump truck of sand into a wheelbarrow, trying to flatten 10 acres. It was terrible. It was terrible. But what I'm saying is, the point behind it is that I didn't consult God with that. I didn't pray about that. I didn't go to Him. And so I put change in my life that wasn't meant to be there. Because looking back now, guess where I ended up back? Walmart. It wasn't time. Yes, God had called me to ministry. Yes, God had called me to do things. But it was not the right timing. And so I put change in my path that made it harder for me. I didn't get to hang out with my friends. I didn't get to do stuff that God intended because I brought change upon myself. But aren't you thankful for the beauty of grace? Because God used that. Now I know how to serve. Now I know how to be a pastor. But the point of this, but what I'm saying is the problem is that most of us hang those messes over our heads. You know what I'm saying? We bring that change into our life and we mess up and then we hang it over our heads. We have this perspective that God is sitting up there on the throne when we mess up and we go through a struggle and we put that change in our life and that He's sitting there with like a lightning bolt and He's ready to like just, come on, mess up. And then He's going to strike you out, smite you. And that is not God at all. See, we have the wrong perspective. God's faithfulness preserves us. Bible says if our God is for us, then who can be against us? See, He is your biggest cheerleader. God is faithful to preserve His own. We must trust in Him, allowing Him to produce change that pushes us forward. We must trust in Him, allowing Him to produce change that pushes you forward. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I think it's easy for us to say we believe that, but it's hard for us to accept it. You get what I'm saying? It's easy to say, yeah, God's working it all out. How many of y'all have ever been in that situation where someone's quoted that scripture and you're like, you just want to grit your teeth? Like, I don't feel the good happening. I don't feel that the bills are riding up. I don't have the money to pay it. I don't know how I'm going to last. How many of y'all have been there? Am I the only one where you get to that point where you're like, God, I don't think I can make it anymore. I'm so tired. I've worked 2 jobs. I've worked 3 jobs. I've worked late nights. I've worked to provide for my family. And you've brought these opportunities in my life, but I don't think I'm going to last. I'm running on empty. We preached that sermon a couple series ago. I'm running on empty. We don't see the good. And I think it's because God sees the long haul. He sees the big picture. And we see the temporal. We see the short game. We see the circumstances. We see the bills piling up. We see the cars not working. We see the sickness affecting our family. We don't see the big picture. We see the here and now. And so it's hard for us to believe, to accept that God is working all things to the good of those who have loved Him and are called according to His purpose. But look at this. I love this because we're going back to the wine story, okay? Because we're studying new wine. And so I studied new wine, and we talked about the expansion process and all that last week. But this week, I want to talk to you about, did you know when you make wine, there's an aging process? You know, they say the older the wine is, the better it tastes. And I was reading this, and right now the oldest bottle of wine on the world today was produced in 350 AD. It's a long time ago, right? It was buried with a Roman soldier. And they dug it up, and it's like a big debate. Like, they're still debating, should we open this thing or not? And I don't want to smell it. You know what I'm saying? But I've been studying this wine aging process. And did you know something? Did you know that only 1% of wine can last that long? Only 1% of wine can be aged like that. I found that interesting. Because 1% of wine can only, it can only last. It can only persevere through the weather and through the being buried and the cold and the dark and the climate changes. It can only last through all of that. There's only 1%. And it's because in the crushing, this is good, in the pressing, the way that the grapes are crushed and pressed allows the sugar to react with the, let me look at my notes before I get too far ahead of myself. With the yeast. Okay, so there it is. So in the crushing and the pressing of the grape, certain grapes have to be pressed and crushed a certain way in order for the sugar to react for the yeast, in order that you can store it and it will last. Now, yes, the bottle of wine you find on the store, it will last 5 years, 10 years, but then it will deteriorate. Isn't that interesting? See, this is good news because God uses this purposely. I love it because God, when God produces change in your life, it positions you to last. See, it's in the crushing, it's in the pressing that he's making new wine. See, we get to this point where we're going through these struggles and all we see is the circumstance and we don't see the long picture, but God is pressing us and he's crushing us because we're that 1%. That is going to weather. That's good news this morning. I don't know what you're going through in this place. I don't know what kind of struggles have fallen on your plate. But your perspective may be a little off today. You may see the circumstance and you may see the troubles and you may not see the good and you may not see God working all things out for your good. But can I tell you, it's in the crushing and it's in the pressing and it's in this process that God takes you and he molds you into something that will last, something that will weather, something that will go through the storms and come out on the other side. It's an interesting thought. Maybe the struggle you're facing or the battle that you have is God's personal method of crushing you. Maybe it's his personal method of pressing you in order that he can preserve you. See, another word for this is humility. You know what I'm saying? Pastor Zach says it all the time up here. You can learn humility two ways. You know what I'm saying? You can learn it the pressing way or seeing someone else do it or learning. You know what I'm saying? And so, but this process, It's this moment of pressing and humiliation. See, Tiff and I'll be really, finances has just always been a struggle in our house. I'm going to be transparent with y'all because I love y'all. And so finances have always been a struggle in our house. It's just we're young and we're dumb half of the time. Amen? Okay. Amen. I can say that because quit calling me dumb. Okay. But we make mistakes. And God is faithful to preserve his own. And I see that all the time. But you know what he does a lot of times? Is he has to work on me until I come to a place. He has to press me until I come to a place where I'll reach out for help. So he can preserve me. See, a lot of you are focused on your circumstances. And you're focused on what is building up. Like the bills or like the sickness and you don't know why you're getting sick or you don't know why that family member is getting sick and you're focused so much on the situation that you're missing out on the miracle that God has in store for you to preserve you past it. In James, God is conditioning you to last. An internal perspective produces perseverance. And James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow." Everyone say, so let it grow. Let it grow. That's what I'm talking about. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Toby, you want to come help me out? I like Toby. Me and Toby are friends some days. Some days he gets annoyed with me. Can you hold this? I trust you. Okay. No, hold the yeah, just hold it like right here. Okay. I trust you. Okay. Okay. So James is saying, can we put that back up on the screen? So James is saying, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And he says, so consider it joy. Are you kidding me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you read that and you're like, man, joy? Just hold those. Stay right there. And you see that, and you see your circumstances, and it's just not coming out, and you're like, joy? How many of y'all work out, go to the gym? Yeah, one. That's what I'm talking about. I don't like to go to the gym either. But me and Toby, I'm not going to tell y'all how long it's been, but we were in a routine for a while for going to the gym at night. And what was the reason we said we wanted to go to the gym? Do you remember?
Was it the beach bodies or the...
The beach bodies. It's one. No. Remember how we talked about our kids?
Yeah, it was for the kids.
It was for the kids. Toby, oh my word. Bad illustration going wrong. No. But it was for our kids. You know what I'm saying? Obesity is high in the rise in America, and diabetes and all these things. And I remember having this conversation with Toby, and we were like, we want to last. We want to persevere. You know, we want to be there to see certain things in our kids. I want to be there to walk my daughter down the aisle, you know, if God will allow that. I want to be there. I want to be there when my son marries his wife, and I want to be the one to marry him. You know what I'm saying? I have these things that I desire, that I believe are God desires, but guess what? I have to persevere. I have to position myself to last. And so James is talking about, look, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And so what he's talking about is like going to the gym. Stay there. You might want to get a power stance. I'm kind of strong. Okay. Do not let go of this. Okay. So listen, this is really cool, okay? And so y'all are getting a good kick out of this. But listen, so when your faith is tested, you get this new vessel and change starts coming your way. And maybe it's change that God's put in there that's pushed to make you last, to make you persevere. But you start to feel it. You know what I'm saying? I thought about bringing like a bench press table in here, but I didn't want to make y'all look bad. And so, you know, you start doing this and you start feeling it. You feel the tension a little bit. But what's it doing? You ask anybody who lifts weight, it's the resistant that builds strength. You know what I'm saying? And so you start doing it here. And God's over here. And in that mentality, you know, what happens is, and you see it all the time in gyms, you'll see guys like looking at their muscles. You know what I'm saying? They're like, they're looking at the weight, they're breathing, and they're like, that's how I do it. And you're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at the weight, the resistance. But what's cool is you see the big heavy lifters, you know, and they'll close their eyes. I've watched it. They'll close their eyes and they'll concentrate and they'll focus and they build strength. See, God may have brought a test in your life and you may be sitting there and you may be struggling, but you know what it's doing that whole time? It's building strength. You want to know why? So you can take one more step. Then it gets a little tense. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, I can't last. And you're like sitting here in this limbo and God's, you know, pouring into you in this new vessel. And you're like, God, I can't handle this change. And he's like, I got you. And you're building strength. And then he does something. You know what I'm saying? Like the bills come and that check shows up that you didn't expect. And you're like, oh, yeah. You take another step. And you're like, boom, you know, hug the tree. And you're getting stronger. You're getting stronger. You're persevering. Then you take another step. And then, you know what I'm saying? And you build strength. It's the resistance. It's the testing that builds your endurance. It's the strength that God sends you. Because why? Because you persevere. You push through. That's why we have joy. But then let's look at it further. I can work out a whole lot better if there's a reward involved. You know what I'm saying? Me and Toby used to work out. Me and Toby used to work out. And we'd be so excited about Chick-fil-A afterwards. Don't you judge me. Listen, when we start doing this, we're over there, and Toby says, dude, let's do 10,000 rows on the row machine. I'm like, dude, you are smoking something. I ain't doing 10,000, what is it, meters? Oh, not miles, meters. He's like, 10,000 meters on the row machine. I'm like, dude, uh-uh. He's like, then we'll go to Chick-fil-A. You want to see? I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Chick-fil-A's on the line? There's a reward in the line. Listen to this. James 1, 12. Thank you. Appreciate it. Everyone give Toby a hand. See, James is talking. He's addressing these people that were facing trials and tests of many kinds. But it wasn't like severe. They weren't like, it wasn't severe persecution, but rather low-level persecution, such as like economic boycotts and stuff anyways. But what the point is this was happening simply because they were Christians. Simply because they had received that new wine vessel, that new wine. And James is saying, look, he calls the believers to rejoice. Not because the pain is pleasant. Listen, how many of y'all have got up from leg day? You know what I'm saying? It's not pleasant. You want to crawl to your truck. You know what I'm saying? You don't want a truck that day because you can't get up into the cab. You want like a little wheelchair to roll you down the... You know, it hurts. He's saying, no, don't rejoice because of the pain. He's saying, rejoice because of the future, because of the eternal reward that you know, that you look beyond the pain. You look beyond the test. You build your strength up because you got somewhere to go. And that's what makes you last. That's what pushes you forward. See, James in 1, 12 through 18, God says this. Look, James says this. He said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. And he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires. That change that we bring in. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming to us from God our Father, who created all lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his word, his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. God preserves his own. You are a prized possession of God. See, we get in this moment where we're working out and God is pushing you forward. He's blessing you. Why? Because you're persevering. He gets glory from it. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the good, though. And I get that. I get that. I'm not standing up here saying it's easy. Listen, if everything I preached was easy to live, man, it'd be a great life. Sometimes it's hard to preach certain things because you struggle too. I struggle just like you, and I walk through these things, and I see the circumstances. Can I tell you a little bit about my week? Can I be transparent? I went home Sunday. Y'all prayed for me. Thank you for your prayers. I went home Sunday night. I had 103 fever. It was terrible. My car broke down a couple weeks ago. Some of y'all know about the car. I'm not looking for a pity party. I'm just trying to tell you some of my struggles. So you see, I'm human. I'm not on a pedestal. I'm just like you. I struggle. So I'm sick. I have a car that needs to be sold and not working, and it's sitting there making me mad. I've worked on it and bled, sweat, and cried. And it's sitting there, and I remember sitting there Tuesday night, and I'm like chills aching. I'd asked for prayer from everyone on the staff and the leadership here. And I remember sitting there Tuesday, and I'm like sweating, just like fever, sick as a dog. And I'm like, God, where's the good? I'm fixing to get up and preach this sermon someday, saying I'm going to last. And I feel like I'm going to die. And I said, not physically, God, I know this is a fever and it'll pass, but I said, you know, my car, it's just been one thing after another recently. And it breaks you down, you know what I'm saying? And you feel the weight, you feel the resistance. And I don't feel strong in those times. You know what I'm saying? And many of you are the same way. You get in that moment and you don't feel strong. And so you know what I did? I waited. The Bible says those who wait on the Lord, He will renew their strength. And so in those times, church, when you feel like the weight is too much and you can't last, like you're not going to persevere, that the crushing and the pressing is too much, wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. I sat there in that bed and I said, God, I'm not looking at TV. I'm not going to do anything until You speak to me. I laid there and I'm shivering from aches and fever. And I'm like, God, I'm waiting on You because I need You. I'm tired. How many of you have ever been there where you're just like, I'm tired? And you know what He began to do? He began to renew my strength. You know how that looked like? You know what that looked like? Lachlan came in, my son, and he goes, Dad, I'm going to pray for you. I'm telling you, when you wait on God, He shows up and He renews your strength. It's, man, if my son prays for me and he's on my team and my wife's in there and I don't have a little Belle, okay, but she's like taking care of my every need and she's working, you know, to make sure that I can go on and I got all these people with me, how much more is God for me and how much more is He? I believe Lachlan walked into that room at that right moment because the Holy Spirit spoke to him. You can't convince me any other way. He walked in. Why? Because God knew I needed some strength. He knew I needed to pick me up. Can I tell you something? God is faithful to preserve His own. And as I'm closing this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I struggle like y'all. And I know that from experience in my life, I've walked through some pretty deep ruts where both sides seem bigger. They seem too tall to climb out. You know what I'm saying? Where you're in that rut and it just feels like you ain't getting out. You've exhausted your resources, your strength, everything you have. But it's not in you. It's in Him. So you may be going through some testing. You may be going through some perseverance. You may be going through some pressing and God's making you into new wine. I believe that there's new wine coming for you and your family. Do you know that? I believe that through this series, we've learned how to deal with change and we learned about being a new vessel for Christ and how that comes with a new direction. And we've learned that God wants to give us growth. And I believe that growth is that new wine. And I believe that new wine is going to sustain you through the next season of your life. I have a cousin, and I wasn't going to share this, but during worship, I thought of her, and it broke my heart, because I have this cousin right now who, yesterday, she texted her mom, and she said, or she texted a family member and said, I can't do it anymore. Can I come live with you? I can't last here anymore. I can't preserve. See, there's this perspective in her that says she's not going to make it. There's this enemy that's telling her, you're not going to make it. You won't last through this. You won't amount to anything after this. Can I tell you something? It's making her stronger and she doesn't even know it. God is there and He knows that He sees her in the midst of where she's at, and He sees you in the midst of where you're at. I don't know what problems surround you today, but can I tell you that you cannot hide from God, that His love is relentless after you, and He is chasing after you, and He sees you where you're at, that you're not alone. The Bible says He will never leave you or nor forsake you. See, this journey, it seems tough sometimes, and it seems like we won't persevere, but can I tell you, keep pushing. Wait on the Lord. Watch Him renew your strength. Keep lifting. You know what I'm saying? One day, me and Toby are going to get back into it, and we're going to be buff. Those beach bodies are going to come. Why? Because we stuck to it. Hopefully. Can I tell you something? Wait on the Lord. He'll show up. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You may be here today, and you may be like, Keith, I can't wait on someone I don't know. Maybe you're here and you have brought a lot of change in your life that you know isn't of God. And you say, maybe you need to surrender your life to Him. Let Him be the source of change in your life. Let Him be the compass that points you north. Or maybe you just never met Him before. And so you can't wait on someone to come through for you if you've never met Him. Here at The Crossing, we don't ever want to give an altar call without giving you the chance to make your personal relationship with God right. I don't ever want to end an altar call without giving people an opportunity to meet my eternal perspective, to meet my King, my North, the one who, when I'm working out and the tests are crushing and they're weighing on me, I can look to Him. If you're here and you say, that's me, I don't know God, but I'd like to. Or maybe you knew Him at one point and you walked away, and that's you. I just want you to make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I believe that God wants to do some work. See those eyes. I'm not going to hold on too long. All right, what I want you to do is I want everyone to pray with me, not to single anyone out. Romans chapter 10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. Confession comes through what we're fixing to do. We're fixing to pray and confess Jesus is Lord. Your belief comes through your actions from now on, living for God. Living wholesome to the best you can. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I come to You today and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I know that You died on the cross and rose again for me. I ask You to be my Lord and I will follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that today, can I tell you, you are gold. That this eternal reward, this eternal perspective is yours. He says, my sheep hear me and they know my voice. Listen to His voice today. And then one more thing, I want to pray with people today who maybe you're going through something. And you just want preservation. David cried out many times when Saul was coming after him, he cried out and he said, "Preserve me, O God. Preserve me, O God. Give me the ability to keep going. Give me the ability to keep fighting." Maybe you're here today and you just need that perseverance. Maybe you need that preservation. If that's you, I want you to be brave. I'm standing. I need perseverance. I struggle. If you'll stand with me, I just want to pray over y'all. Anyone here needs perseverance, who needs preservation? We normally don't do this, but I think it's important that we realize where we're at. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people. Lord, these dear, precious people, Lord, who are coming to you today to ask you for strength. Lord, that we wait on you, that you are faithful to preserve your own. And God, we know that as we come to a place of acceptance of where we at, Lord, that that unlocks the ability. When we come to a place of humility, Lord, that it unlocks the potential for you to move. It unlocks the potential for you to pour out your floodgates. And God, I pray right now over every person who stood in this room, God, Lord, that the bills, Lord, you would help them to keep their focus on you, Lord, that you would give them an eternal perspective, that they would see the long game and not the short game, God. Father, keep their eyes on you. Help them to wait on you because, Lord, we know that when we wait on you, Lord, that you will renew our strength, that we will run and we won't grow weary, God. Lord, that we will rise. Father, thank you for the victory that you've already won over these people's circumstances and their struggles, God. Lord, that we don't have to stress about the victory because you hold the keys of victory. We praise you. We love you. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.